Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord where we come together and just worship Him? Just worship Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Oh, we do welcome you to Gaydon International Church, and we just pray that maybe something we say or do or something you hear will encourage your heart and touch you by your Spirit. You know, one touch of the Master's touch changes everything. Just one touch from the Master in our situation, in your situation, changes everything. My God, my God. Amen. Thank you for your worship and praise this morning. Amen, amen. We want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church this morning. Last week we picked up $1,369.50. And we want to thank you for being obedient. Thank you for giving to the church and trusting us with that. And we certainly do appreciate it. The new building's really coming around now. last Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not sure, Wednesday, we went and we ordered the carpet. The carpet's being ordered. It should be coming in this Wednesday or so. Hopefully the latter part of this week coming, he'll be able to start maybe installing the carpet. The other window unit is being put in this week sometime. They do that this week. They did the second coat of painting. I know Cheryl and Jelaine went last Friday and painted the second coat, and there's some touch-ups and stuff that needs to be done. Wednesday afternoon sometime, they're going to clean up the building itself so that when the carpet goes down and all that stuff will be clean. The Lafayette Music is coming this Saturday, if it works out, or next Saturday to finish installing everything. We have everything that we need behind the walls and stuff, you know. All that's been done, but they need to come and put the speakers and all the equipment and all the mics and everything for us. So that's coming around. So just to let you know that it's soon, guys. It's soon. It's soon. One Sunday, you know, you might come and you might have a sign on the door saying, go to the new building, you know. Just, you don't have to drive. You can just walk. You know, but whatever. But, you know, we're going to try to get everything, you know. I was hoping to be there in there for Easter, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But that's okay. But it's in the process of coming along very quickly. And I do want to thank everyone for your help. You know, you might say, well, you know, just in your prayers, just praying for the building, asking God to move in that building. Because I know when I walk in, I can sense the presence of God, people. I can sense it. And so, you know, that's a good sign that God approves. And when God approves, one touch of the Master's hand, He changes things. He makes things happen. And God is stirring the hearts, our hearts. I know my heart. My God has been stirred by the Spirit of God like never before. Just anticipating. You know that commercial about ketchup anticipation, you know? We're anticipating that it's coming. And we're just excited, and I know you're excited about it. And we're excited about what God is going to do. Because He is going to get all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Yes, He has to use people. But I tell you what, money can't buy what we felt this morning. The presence of God. And I tell you, people are looking, people are talking. You know, it seems like everywhere I go, it can be in Kaplan, Gaydon, everywhere, somebody will come and say, you know, I've been talking to this one that they're looking to go to your church. I said, well, praise God, let them come, you know. We'd love to have them, you know. So, you know, people are looking, they're looking for the presence of God. And that's what we have to offer, which one touch of the Master's hand changes everything. His finger touches. But we do appreciate you in your giving and tithe. We were able to pay for the carpet. You know, we were able to pay for all that stuff, you know. Able to pay for it all. And, you know, it's glory to God, but I want to thank you. Thank you for being faithful to the church in your tithe and offerings here. Thank you so much. for what you have done. He's cold. It's cold. Oh, can you put it up a little bit? A little bit. Amen. She's always cold. Amen. But we do, certainly do appreciate. Also, a matter of note, we want to announce to you. On Sunday, April the 7th, Sunday, April the 7th, it's at 3 o'clock, Jess, just making sure. At 3 o'clock, Jess is going to be having a baby shower here at the church. And she wanted me to announce it to you that all ladies are invited. If you would like to come, well, everybody's writing down, okay. I saw three ink pens open up. Cool. April 7th at 3 o'clock. So you are more than what we want to invite everyone to come. That's a baby shower, and the invitation will be on the back table for you. If you need more information, or you can talk to Jess and Jelaine, and they know more about it. So, but we wanted to invite everybody from the church. We sure don't want anyone left out. So if you're able to come, you're more than welcome. Come eat some good food, you know, and just fellowship, whatever, you know, and have fun. Amen. Amen. All right, is that it? That's all the announcements. I think that's it. Okay. Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word speaks life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have to put the scripture up yet, Andrew, but you can turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus, don't put the scripture up yet, though. Exodus chapter 13. Amen. I tell you, we are just so excited, guys, to see what God has done. My Lord, my Lord. It's exciting. It's exciting to follow the Spirit of God. It's exciting to follow the Spirit of God. He'll never let us down. We may not want to go some places or do some things, you know, because we are a little resistant at times. At times. But that's okay. God loves us, cares about us, and will help us to change and do what He wants to do. In Exodus chapter 13, before we read the scriptures that I want to read, it talks about basically the synopsis and a little bit before and after. It talks about how God brought deliverance to the people of Israel, or the Israelites. How God, in His merciful state towards His people, you know, mercy upon them, gave them a deliverer called Moses. Moses went, spoke to Pharaoh, and when he spoke to Pharaoh, he said this. He said, "Let my people go." And Moses wasn't talking about his people. When he said, "Let my people go," he was talking about God Almighty, God's people. And it says that God called His people out of Egypt, and they were on a long journey to an unknown future and to a strange land promised to them. You know, we know before God took them out of the land of bondage, they were in bondage for many, many years. I mean, you know, hundreds of years in bondage, slavery. You know, they were not paid for what they did. I mean, they were the lowest of the lowest people in Egypt. You know, but God was about to do something in the people in Israel, or in with the Israelites, in bringing them out of slavery. It says that God called Moses to be deliverer for them. God, after He called Moses and worked upon Moses, Moses went and he said, "Let my people go." And God miraculously brought them out of the land of Egypt. It says that he led his people. Now this is miraculous. But it says that when he brought them out of Egypt, that, you know, when you go on vacation and you're driving, not flying or whatever, but driving, you know, we look and we try to see the shortest way to get there, the least amount of time to get there. You know, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, he didn't take them the shortest way. He didn't take them, you know, the least mileage to bring them out. He brought them the longest way around, and they got to the Red Sea. But they were led by the Spirit of God. Led by where God wanted them to go. And they went all the way around into the wilderness. And the reason why God brought them that way, because the shortest route would have made them face a lot of Egyptians, which would have killed them and tried to destroy them. So God brought them through the wilderness, the desolate land, so that they would not have to fight physically because they weren't able to. They had just come out of slavery working and working tirelessly, making bricks with no straw. So God brought them the best way. Now, we don't think of it that way. You know, God speaks to our hearts. He tells us things. And he tries to get us to point B from point A. And we think sometimes we know the shortest way is the best way. But God may say something differently. And we may not understand. Well, why is God making me go all the way from point A to point Z to reach B? But you see, we may not understand it. And the Israelites probably didn't understand it. But God knew that was the best way for the people. And so every time we may go through something, and God may say, go this way, we may not understand it. We honestly may disagree. I mean, I've told God, I don't understand this. And I don't think this is right. But just because I don't understand it, or you don't understand it, or we don't agree with it, doesn't mean we don't go in that direction, because he knows what is best. Because the other way would have brought destruction upon them. They had equipment, they had men that could fight and destroy them. This way, they passed it all up and went the other way. Now, it was longer, and God brought them right to the Red Sea. But the longer route was chosen by God, not by Moses or the people. The alternate route was shorter, but God knew what was the best thing to do. And now, look at Exodus chapter 13. I wanted to kind of give that kind of Genesis, Exodus. I've learned this to be true. And I think probably you too, you know, we've learned some things. We may be a little smarter than we were a few years ago, a little bit, you know. Because of the wisdom of the Bible, you know, we just thank you, Lord. We're a little smaller. But we've learned this, that every time God speaks to us and tells us to do something, or we feel in our hearts that we need to go in a certain direction, or we see something in the Word of God, that God is always with us. Now, God, when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they had a leader, Moses. Everyone needs a pastor. You might say, I don't like my pastor. That's okay. I knew I'd get. I know y'all love us. I know y'all love us. I do. You know what? Y'all have great pastors. I didn't hear amen from the back there. No. But you know what? God, and that's something we need to learn, is God just didn't take the Israelites out of Egypt and say, just go. God spoke to a leader first, prepared his heart, took Egypt out of him and the things of the world out of him, then sent him back to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh to let God's people go. And then when it finally all came about, you know, all the scenario things, that Moses walked out the leader of the children of Israel. But as Moses was walking out, I'm sure they left during the day sometime, probably early in the morning sometimes. It says, when you can, that as Moses was leading the children of Israel out, that he looks up, and what does he see? A cloud from God. And he's walking, and then the night comes, then he sees a pillar of fire. And that's the scriptures I want to read today, guys. Look at Exodus chapter 13, look at verse 21. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before thy people. Now you might say, well, you know, why would God do that? Why would God do that? Why would God, as he brings the people out, yes, look, they got Moses, you know, to lead them. But God wanted the people to see every time they looked up, he was there. Every time they felt like something wasn't going right, they could look up and see the presence of God. Every time trouble may have seemed like was on the left or to the right of them, they could see God was still in control. People, that's just like us. The presence of God is in our hearts. And when things come about on the left or the right of us or on top of us, we can know the presence of God is in us and he is our protector. He leads us and guides us. Moses, I know, must have felt weary at times, knowing that God brought them out of Egypt, knowing that he was in control of their path, because wherever the cloud went, Moses went. And wherever Moses went, the people came. That's how God does things. And so we have to listen. We got to know the voice of God. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. That's our pillar of fire. That's our cloud on the inside that leads the church, that leads the people by his Spirit. And so look, when they started to walk, Moses looked at the cloud and said, where is he going? And I'm sure when they started to walk out and the cloud started to take the left or the pillar of fire, whatever, because they could walk at night too because of the fire. Can you imagine a pillar of fire in the heavens that would light up their path? It says that his word is a light unto us. It's light unto us. Its word lights up for us the path to take. Can you imagine as Moses looked and the cloud on the pillar of fire started to take the left to go the long way? They knew their directions. They may not have had GPS. But they knew where the where they should be going. They had the great GPSer, our God. And he started to take the left. And they probably said, well, you know, there's a shorter way. There's a shorter way. There's a shorter way. I don't understand that. Why? But you see, we don't have to understand everything. God says we're to believe. God says we're to obey him. And so when it started to go to the left, they started to follow, and Moses started to follow. One other thing, that pillar of fire and that cloud by day brought comfort to Moses and brought comfort to the people. They knew their God was there for them. Can you imagine, people? Your God is there for you all the time. You could wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and praise him in bed. You could wake up at any time of the day, any time of the day, and you can lift your hands and worship him and feel the presence of God. Any time, knowing that the pillar of fire and the cloud is there ready for us. The Holy Spirit is ready to help us and to move on our behalf. He took care of them in the day and also at night. The pillar of fire and cloud by day was a manifestation of the presence of God. A manifestation of the presence of God, of what he was going to do in leading them and guiding them. My God, we have the manifestation of our God. The Holy Spirit, when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, it says that the Spirit of God came in and reigns in our mortal bodies. It's there for us to comfort us, to help us, to lead us, to guide us. Have you ever felt you didn't know what to do? I know. We can all raise our hands and we all say, I know, I don't know what to do. But you know what? He knows what to do. Just give it to him. Just cast it upon him. Just say, Lord, it's yours, Father. I don't understand this situation. I don't know what's going on. But Father, you can take care of it. Because you see, that's what he wants. He wants to take care of our problems. And it doesn't cost $75 an hour either. It's free. All he says is, give me your heart. Give me your heart. And he takes care of things. One touch of the master's hand. The pillar of fire provided light so the Israelites could travel by night or by day. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night was a constant reminder to Moses and the Israelites that God was with them. It says this in Scripture that God will never forsake us or leave us. Never. Never. That was a miracle for those people. It was a miracle that they came out of Egypt. A miracle of God. We're all miracles. If it wouldn't be for God, where would we be? We're all miracles. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, if it wasn't for him giving us wisdom and help in our constant need, the mercy of God, the grace of God to help us, to knowing that he cares about us. Can you imagine, you know, people often ask the question, well, why am I here? Why am I here? Well, the Bible says we're here to give praise and honor to the King. The Bible says we're here to accomplish the work of the Father. That's why we're here. To do what he wants to do. So he can work in us, so we can help other people. So we can help other people come to the knowledge of God. Come to the knowledge of him working. That pillar of fire that is set before us. That cloud by day that is set before us. To lead us and guide us into every situation where he wants us to go. To lead us and guide us into all the things that he desires and wants us to do. We may not understand it. We may not understand things. But God says, just obey and believe. Just obey and believe. Obey and believe. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's grace came down to them. He was their companion through the victory. The wilderness was vast and desolate and really largely uninhabitable. Without a good guide, they would have easily died. But they had the best guide. Look, guys, we have the best God. Guide, which is the best God. We have Him. We have Him. I know things get hard. I know things, we don't understand everything. But I also know this, He's good to His people. Things may get hard, but I tell you what, there's a lot of happy times too with God. There's some good times, happiness, joy, peace, love in our homes, you know. I mean, just God coming in and meeting the needs of the house and the people. Whenever those people, the Israelites, needed help, He helped them. His constant or continuous presence enabled them to preserve or persevere on their journey to the very end. The wilderness was a place of preparation and testing for the people of Israel. You know, I know the people of Israel made some mistakes. Can you imagine how God felt after they crossed the Red Sea and all that stuff? And Moses goes and God's given him the Ten Commandments and all that. And they're down there making a golden calf. The thing that God gave them to make them rich, they're making a golden calf to worship. You might say, was God disappointed? I would think so. I would think so. But even in disappointment, because of the love of God for us, His people, He still takes care of us. He still will do whatever it takes to grab our hearts. Because you see, our God's in the heart business. He wants to capture our hearts. He wants your heart. He wants everything about you. He wants everything about us. He wants our hearts to capture it, to hold it, to take care of it. As we trust in Him, the hearts of His people. Because you see, once someone has captured our hearts, we'll do anything for him or her. Once God has captured our hearts, He wants it to be a people that are sold out to Him, that will do whatever it takes to bring glory and honor to the King. You might say, Pastor Joe, I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to go with that. I don't want to go either. This is a mission here. America needs the power of God. America needs our children, our grandchildren, our communities. We need the power of God. We need God's presence. We need God to move like He's never moved before. But all He can use is a people that have captured His heart. And it's moved by the presence of God. We need Him to move in our hearts and to move in our lives. Preparation and testing. God had to prepare them for the future. God had to prepare him. He went before them. He was there to guide them, to defend them, to give them His glory, to save them from every fear. He did all that, and they get to the Red Sea. You know, I know we've all seen the Ten Commandments. I mean, you know, they did a great job with it. But can you imagine they came all that way and they end up at the Red Sea? Mountains on either side of them. The Egyptian army, they changed their hearts and they said, we're coming after them. We're bringing them back to Egypt, back to slavery. God captures our hearts and He brings us to a place. And it seems like we end up at a Red Sea. And we're going, Lord, what do I do? We see the enemy in the back of us coming to destroy us. We see signs of evil on either side of us. signifying the mountains. But I want to read a scripture to you in Exodus chapter 14. Look at verse 24. It says, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." The Lord looked down. Can you imagine? The Egyptian army is coming after them. And it says that God looks down out of the cloud or out of the pillar of fire, either one that was during that day. And he says he troubles the host, which is he troubled Israel. That means, you know what? He threw the Egyptian army into confusion. God will do the same for you. When your back is against the wall, the Red Sea is in front of you, your enemies in back of you, troubles on either side of you, but you're looking up and you see the pillar of fire and you see the cloud, God will literally come down and He will cast confusion to the enemy that's ready to destroy you. Now, you know, you can read in the notes, and it says, what happened? You know, what happened? Well, this is what they think happened. It says, Josephus says concerning this, about troubling the host or bringing confusion to the Egyptian army. It says, showers of rain came down from the sky, and dreadful thunders and lightning and flashes of fire, thunderbolts also were darted upon them. Nor was there anything which could be sent by God upon man as indication of His wrath, which did not happen upon this occasion. So here we see, they're thinking this is probably what happened. As the father looks down, because you see, they're coming after his children. They're coming after his kids. They're coming after his people to destroy them. But the enemy makes plans to destroy you and I. The enemy makes plans to destroy you physically, to destroy you mentally, to destroy you spiritually, in any way he can. But you see, our God lifts up the standard as we look to him, as we keep our eyes upon that pillar of fire, as we keep our eyes upon the cloud, as we keep our eyes upon him, as the enemy rages in the back, our God takes care of the enemy. If our enemy comes in like a flood, it says that he raises up a standard. He stops them. We cannot stop him, the enemy. He's too powerful. He's been made by God. Yet he disobeyed, rebelled, and God threw him down. Our God has more power in his hands than the enemy has in his whole body. Don't ever believe the lie that the enemy is more powerful than God. And you know what? God lives in us. So that makes us powerful. Not in ourselves, but in the God that we trust in the God that is in the pillar of fire, in the God that's in the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us. And when the enemy rages, our God takes care of him. Our God knew when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and as he led them through the desolate wilderness places to the Red Sea, that the enemy would come after him. Buddy, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, God knows the enemy is waiting in the bushes to come after us, to bring destruction, to bring unbelief, to gnaw at or destroy our faith in our God. But you see, we have to keep our eyes upon Him and Him alone. And when we keep our eyes upon Him, we don't worry about the mountains on the side or the enemy in the back. God takes care of those things. And He brings destruction. He does the warfare on our behalf so that, we're not wasting our time on those things, but we are giving God the glory and the praise and the honor that is due unto Him. Praising Him and honoring Him for who He is. And as we praise Him and as we honor Him, our God looks down and He takes care of those enemies.
Amen.
That's the kind of God you serve, people.
Amen.
Old Slewfoot is back there. I hate to even mention his name because I hate him so much. I hate him because I've seen the destruction he's tried to bring to my life, my family, our church, the body of Christ. I hate him with a passion. And because I hate him, I love my God. And I want to see God move and be praised and honored upon this earth like never before. And when we look to him, the enemy's going to come. And he's going to try to do all his stuff. But I tell you, just keep your eyes on him. Just keep your eyes on him. Be like Peter as he was walking on the water. Yes, he went down a little bit, but he had to keep his eyes on him. And as he kept his eyes upon Jesus, all the things on the side of him never affected him. But as soon as he took his eyes off and he looked at the problem, then destruction started to come and God had to save him. We got to keep our eyes upon him, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. You might say, Pastor, what do I need to do? Take some time with your God. Take some time. I'm not saying you have to spend an hour a day, 30, whatever. But just take some time just to honor him and love him. And I'm telling you, it will make a difference in your heart and life like never before. Take that word. Take Proverbs and read. You know, today's the 17th. Read Proverbs 17 and let that speak to your heart. Read some scripture. Get that down deep within your heart so that as the enemy rages on the backside of you, our God, because our faith is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, He takes those things and He nullifies it on the backside of us. Because you see, if we turn around, if Jesus is there and I'm looking at Him and I turn around, where are my eyes? Away from my protector. And when I put my eyes upon the enemy is coming for me. So what I do is, or what we need to do, we need to keep our eyes upon him and him alone. And God takes care of the backside of you. God takes care of those things on the backside of you. He takes care of those things that are trying to bring destruction, that are trying to destroy you and your family and your church and the body of believers. He takes care of those things as our faith is in Him. My God. Can you imagine if Moses would have turned and said, Lord, this river, there's no way. And what if he would have turned and put his eyes upon the enemy in the backside of him and said, my God, there's no way. Thank God he didn't. Thank God he kept his eyes upon the front, Jesus. And he took that rod, as God told him to, pointed it to the Red Sea and it just opened. My God. Can you imagine walking upon dry ground to the other side? Can you imagine as they were walking on dry ground and the walls are up on each, you know, of water? I wonder if a few people put their hands, you know. Don't touch that cookie jar. Don't touch that plant. You're still going to do it. Still going to do it. That's just who we are, huh? We have to touch it. Okay. Can you imagine they tried to put their hands or whatever, you know, just to see what would happen, you know? She would. But can you imagine they got to the other side, guys? Praise God. They got to the other side. Keep your eyes focused upon the pillar of fire and the cloud by day. Don't get distracted upon what's on the other side of you. Don't get distracted upon the enemy of all those things. But keep your eyes upon him saying, Lord, you are my God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You will lead me. You will guide me in the right direction. And He will do whatever it takes for us to keep our eyes upon Him. I know in Exodus chapter 14, let's read it, and this will be the last scripture. I skipped it, but I think we have a little bit of time. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, as the Egyptians were coming, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Look, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. That's Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And God even said, look, you won't see them ever again. My God.
Yes.
Can you imagine? That's the kind of God we serve. Keep your eyes upon Him. Don't be distracted about stuff. Let God work on your hearts. Because I know all of us need a lot of work. Huh? We all do. You know, we're all on that potter's wheel. And a lot of times I'd like to jump off sometimes, you know. Get me out of here, you know. But God is still in that pottering business. Where He's still on that, we're all on that potter's wheel. We'll be there forever. And He's just working. Ever so gently taking out the rocks. Ever so gently taking out the grass. Just taking things out. And putting His love, His mercy, His grace, His peace, His joy, His protection, Himself into it. As He works with it. To help us to be what we need to be. Amy, why don't you stand, please? Oh, Jesus, Father.